This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm News Time, you're on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have an update from Jamie Dickerman as well. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins is praising her boss for the tariff adjustments made from the imports from Canada and Mexico. President Trump's announcement includes a reduction of tariffs on potash not already covered under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, going from 25% to 10%. Rollins called that a smart strategic move.
The shifting trade policies between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada have raised significant concerns, particularly as those new tariffs announced by President Trump face legal scrutiny. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman reports.
Pro Farmer analyst Jim Wiesmeyer explaining that while Trump's administration argues that tariffs are justified under USMCA's Article 32.2 for national security reasons, many trade experts disagree.
Trump may not be on legal ground to actually have these tariffs to begin with. Now, to be fair, the Trump administration says that the tariffs are allowed under what they call Article 32.2 of USMCA for national security reasons. But again, trade experts and trade officials disagree with that assessment. So we have another controversy here.
Wiesmeyer also speculating these tariff changes might be a strategic move by the Trump administration to push for a renegotiation of the USMCA.
Maybe this is why the Trump administration wants to renegotiate USMCA. That's conjecture, by the way, on my part. But bottom line, the big, I think, step for agriculture, for U.S. agriculture, comes April 2nd with his reciprocal tariffs. And that's not necessarily all negative news, because you could have some tariffs actually go down if these countries answer Trump's charge by equalizing, two trading nations' tariffs. Example, cars in Europe and the United States. Right now, there's only a U.S. Import tariff on European cars of 2.5%. where it's much higher bringing in U.S. cars. Now, Europe has signaled that they may equalize them.
The uncertainty surrounding these policy shifts has rattled financial markets, creating volatility as traders react to conflicting government statements. Wiesmeyer criticizing the administration's inconsistent approach.
This is an etch-a-sketch approach to trade policy. I'm writing special reports every other hour almost now, because it's not a well thought out strategy to me. They need to get their act together. What are they doing? One day the White House press secretary says there will be no exemptions. The very next day they announce exemptions relative to the USMCA and the automobile. So you can see that this thing is very fluid.
As the April 2nd deadline for reciprocal tariffs approaches, businesses and agricultural producers remain on edge, bracing for potential economic impacts depending on how trading partners respond. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Tariff news was just one piece of the higher grain trade puzzle yesterday. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo thinks the value of the U.S. dollar had a lot to do with the higher prices.
The brand new four-month low in the U.S. dollar, and it's important to realize from the trade standpoint that you're getting the dollar to do a lot of the heavy lifting of keeping the United States the cheapest grain in the world, and it's doing a very good job. Between the Chicago price going down with the tariff news and the dollar going down, we're really starting to cut into the price and really be much more competitive in some instances versus some of our biggest competition out there in the world. So I think that's a big issue that we really want to keep track of. If we can keep seeing that dollar erode as we go through this tariff issue, maybe, just maybe, we don't lose as much demand on the export front as what the trade's trying to price in right now.
U.S. corn, the cheapest in the world. U.S. soybeans, more expensive.
We're at about $200 a ton in U.S. CIF NOLA corn right now, compared to about $206, $210 a ton in Brazil's Paranagua price. So we're underneath the Paranagua price by quite a bit. Just the opposite, though, when it comes to the soybeans. Paranagua, about $387 a ton for soybeans. We're at about $402. It's important, I think, to keep that dynamic in place in your mind and in your marketing, especially given that we are now harvesting Brazilian beans. So net, with those two factors, I think soybeans are still probably the leader to the downside, and we just really need to see those product markets make a low and help support the soybeans outright.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. USDA will be updating its supply-demand report on Tuesday. According to the Wall Street Journal survey of market analysts, the average estimate for corn stocks is 1.52 billion bushels, down from 1.54 billion last month. Average trade guess for soybean stocks, 381 million bushels, up 1 million from February. Wheat stocks are forecast at 796 million bushels. That is up 2 million bushels.
President Trump is now giving his cabinet the authority to make their own staffing decisions.
I want the cabinet members to go first. Keep all the people you want, everybody that you need. And we want them to keep the good people. And so we're going to be watching them. And Elon and the group are going to be watching them. And if they can cut, it's better. And if they don't cut, then Elon will do the cutting.
Trump later went on social media and said cabinet secretaries have a better handle on staff decisions. Workforce reductions will still happen, but Trump said they'll be using a scalpel rather than a hatchet.
The tariff situation very fluid, and while ag retailers are monitoring the fertilizer situation daily, CHS Ag Services Senior Director of Operations Ryan Anderson said the co-op is well positioned for the season ahead.
We're very fortunate to have the storage that we have. We store most of our spring needs on hand before we even start planting the crop, which is key. We do need some in-season product, but a lot of that's going to be domestic product coming from our Galveston, Texas port. So I really feel like it'll be, you know, minor implications for spring planting.
The storage includes a new 26,000-ton dry fertilizer hub south of Hallock, Minnesota. It'll be fully operational this spring. Anderson said the acreage situation in northwestern Minnesota and northeast North Dakota will be similar to last year.
The corn acres for this area look to be strong again. The spring wheat acres, I think, are the biggest question mark right now. I think that acre is still going to be strong, but I don't know that we're going to really know the clear picture on that for another month. But we always say we'll be ready for anything. We've got supply of everything that I think that the growers will need, but as of right now, it looks like I would call it a pretty similar mix to the year before.
CHS Ag Services and CHS Northland held their annual meetings yesterday in Grand Forks.
Speed and space are important as agribusiness makes business decisions for the future. Scott Cordes is a member of the CHS Corporate Board and was part of the CHS Ag Services annual meeting. As the size of farms get bigger and the speed of operation is faster, Cordes said CHS is positioning itself for the future.
Some of the investments we make, you know, they got an 80-year tail on them. So trying to think what the market is today, make a decision for an 80-year, you got to start using your crystal ball and try to project out 5, 10, 20 years at least. And the big thing was we look for the trends. What are the drivers that are changing the trends? You know, are we doing more renewable diesel, more bio? Is that the trend we're after? Because if you're just waiting in government policy, that can change every 4 years. So, yeah, the crystal ball gets used quite a bit to try to really put some hard metrics to it.
Carter said it is also important for the co-op to be in Washington, D.C. to have a voice in farm policy.
In a win for private property rights, South Dakota Governor Larry Roden has signed legislation banning the use of eminent domain for carbon pipelines across the state. Roden said this does not mean a carbon pipeline won't be built in South Dakota, but Summit Carbon Solutions will need to win back the trust of landowners. Iowa, North Dakota, and Minnesota previously approved the Summit Carbon Pipeline.
North Dakota State Veterinarian Dr. Ethan Andrus spoke to the House Ag Committee about Senate Bill 2085, which would give the Ag Commissioner authority over a program called the U.S. Swine Health Improvement Plan, designed to help protect the pork industry from dangerous diseases like African swine fever.
SB 2085 is a bill to grant the Agriculture Commissioner authority as the official state agency for the United States Swine Health Improvement Plan. USSHIP is modeled after our National Poultry Improvement Plan. The intent of USSHIP is to create an organized infrastructure in preparation for an African swine fever or classical swine fever incursion. These diseases have been devastating on the world stage, and any diagnosis in this country has the potential to devastate the U.S.'s ability to sell pork on the world market.
Andrus warned that African swine fever is deadly to pigs, could seriously hurt the pork industry. The House Agriculture Committee unanimously passed a do-pass recommendation to that bill. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Ironhide Equipment is celebrating its 25th anniversary. Jason Vasicek is a business, says the business began as a Bobcat of Grand Forks.
And it was a really small facility, probably 1,800 square feet, and there was three guys. And so we grew in 08. We added Devil's Lake. In 11, we added Williston, and 16, Bemidji. And then we moved into here in 21, and now we have just over 80 people. So it's been quite the journey quickly.
Agriculture has always been part of the Ironhide success story.
You know, ag is absolutely essential. We can tell that it's down a little bit right now. We can certainly see it in our sales and our activity. It's 30-40% of our business easily. And, you know, a lot of the growers have, you know, they started out not having a skid steer and back and start moving totes. And then they graduate to a track machine and just becomes an essential part of their operations.
Minnesota's new budget forecast is $456 million surplus. That's down from $616 million in the November report. For the out years, the deficit has grown to $6 billion. That'll impact the amount of spending available for the rest of this legislative session. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Tory Westrum released a statement critical of the state's financial picture. Westrum said the government needs to stop treating taxpayers as bottomless piggy banks.
Food prices worldwide increased in February. The Food Price Index from the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations is up more than 8% year over year. Vegetable oil prices are up 2% from January and up more than 29% from a year ago. Meat prices declined marginally from January but remain nearly 5% higher than a year ago. Global dairy prices are up 4% on a monthly basis and up 23% year over year. Sugar prices are up nearly 7% from January, but down nearly 16% from last year.
In the markets, we're down 7.75 cents for Minneapolis wheat. The May contract's at 5.86 1/4. Chicago wheat for May down 7.5, and we're down 7.75 for KC wheat. May corn, a penny down, 4.63 the quote. New crop down 2 cents. May soybeans, 10.25 3/4, 1.5 lower. And the November new crop beans down just a fraction, 0.75 cents. On the farm calendar, the University of Minnesota Extension, Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and Farm Service Agency hosting their first annual Ag for All conference. That's going on in St. Cloud this weekend. The National Farmers Union Conference convention is starting this weekend. That's in Oklahoma City. The Red River Farm Network will be reporting from the National Farmers Union meeting. We'll have coverage and reports starting on Monday. And NDSU Extension has a series of webinars going on for the horse owner. They'll be hosting them at noon on March 12th, 19th, and 26th. You can visit the NDSU Extension website for more details. Have yourself a great Friday. This is the Red River Farm Network.